Time now for the latest world sport from the BBC with me, Adi Adedoyin. Coming up, we're set for a thrilling final day in the second test between Australia and West Indies, live to Adelaide shortly. Manchester United have injury worries ahead of their European Champions League match in Germany, and the British Grand Prix is safe, and the Formula One world champions delighted.
It's great news, and you know, I can't imagine an F1 season without the British Grand Prix.
More from Jenson Button in a moment, but we start with cricket, and Australia are chasing 330 to win the second test against West Indies in Adelaide after bowling out the tourists for 317 in their second innings in the opening session of the final day. But the West Indies bowlers have claimed an early wicket. Let's cross live to the ground and Jim Maxwell.
Suleiman Ben is making life difficult for the Australian batsman. He had the opportunity of referring one decision for LBW, but didn't, and replays indicated it probably would have been given. Watson survived all of that. He's 20. Ponting's won, but Katic has been dismissed. He played an ambitious drive to Bravo and was well caught by Bharat at cover for 21. The West Indies batted on earlier today, eventually out for 317. Gale becoming the fourth West Indian and the first West Indies captain to carry his bat in a test innings. He was 165 not out, with Johnson claiming 5 wickets and Bollinger 3. Set 330 from 81 overs, Australia 1 for 44.
Thanks, Jim. The England batsman Kevin Peterson says after 4 months away from the game, he's found it difficult returning to international cricket. Peterson has struggled during the recent one-day series against South Africa after recovering from an Achilles injury. And Peterson, who's born in South Africa, said he's now used to being booed by the home fans.
It's always going to happen here in South Africa. Ricky Ponting's been to England how many times and played how many test matches, and he still gets a fair deal in England. So it happens to sportsmen all the way around the world, not just here in South Africa. It gets me going. I enjoy it. I don't mind it at all. It's going to probably happen for the rest of my career. It happens in Australia. I've done nothing to the Australians, and it happens there. So it's something that you just have to deal with all the way around the world, and it's fun. It's no problem at all.
On to football, and Manchester United have been left with just one regular defender for Tuesday's European Champions League tie at Wolfsburg after Nemanja Vidic failed to recover from flu. He joins Gary Neville and Wes Brown on the sidelines. Both suffered injuries in Saturday's win at West Ham. United have longer-term injuries to Rio Ferdinand, John O'Shea and Johnny Evans, who've both been ruled out until January, plus the Brazilian twins Fabio and Rafael da Silva. Patrice Evra is now the only regular first-team defender for manager Sir Alex Ferguson.
Well, it's worth trying one defender. Manchester United are always first at doing something, so we'll try that again. And we know we have a difficult task. It's to give me a back four that can unite together, give me a good organisational part of them, and also good passing ability, because that's going to be important for considering that we don't have natural centre backs. So these are the issues which we're addressing at the moment.
Michael Essien and his Chelsea teammates will try to avoid thinking about the World Cup until they've completed their campaigns in the English Premier League and the European Champions League. Essien says he's barely spoken to Michael Ballack about playing against him when Ghana take on Germany in the final match of Group D. But the midfielder admits that he's starting to get excited about the Africa Cup of Nations starting next month.
It's going to be a very difficult tournament, you know, because as you can see, we have a lot of African players playing in Europe, so it's going to be a very difficult one, and you know, I think we've got some good players in the team that can do the job. So we have to work really hard and then go to Angola and see what we can do.
Stoke City will conduct an internal investigation into reports that manager Tony Pulis and striker James Beattie were involved in a dressing room bust-up after the weekend defeat at Arsenal in the English Premier League. Reports suggest that Pulis called the players in for training on Monday, having previously agreed to give them the day off so they could attend a Christmas party in London. Now, the shortlist for this year's FIFA World Player of the Year has been announced. Barcelona's Lionel Messi is amongst the nominees and could add the prestigious prize to the Ballon d'Or, which he's already won for being Europe's best player. The 22-year-old lines up alongside teammates Andres Iniesta and Xavi, and two previous winners in Kaká and Cristiano Ronaldo, both of Real Madrid. It guarantees that the winner will come from a Spanish club, but Graham Hunter, a football journalist based in Barcelona, says there'll be a new name on the trophy this year.
The only reason Cristiano Ronaldo isn't going to win outright for the second year in a row the FIFA World Player is that footballers understand that Leo Messi is not only perhaps a slightly better footballer, although a lesser athlete than Cristiano Ronaldo, but Leo Messi patently had the better 12 months. And therefore, he'll edge it, But we are lucky, we're fortunate to live in an era. It's like the era of Foreman and Ali. This, hopefully, will be our next 9 or 10 years. A battle, maybe contested by others, but certainly led by Cristiano Ronaldo and Leo Messi for a decade. Which of them is the better player? And I think that we're all truly fortunate to be watching and enjoying this epic battle by two great, great footballers.
And the winner will be announced on the 21st of December. Now, the Formula One world champion, Jenson Button, has welcomed the news that the British Grand Prix has been saved. Silverstone has agreed a 17-year deal to host the race from next year after Donington Park was stripped of the rights for failing to meet its financial obligations. Button says he knows how important his home Grand Prix is to British motorsport.
It's great news, and you know, I can't imagine an F1 season without the British Grand Prix. You know, there's so many people who work in the sport that are British. We have a massive fan base out there, and you only had to look at Silverstone last year to know how many fans we have. So it's great news, and but it's not just for 1 year either. It's for a long period of time, so everyone can relax now and just get ready to enjoy themselves next year as well. So it's not just Formula One; it's the lower formulas as well that we have. In England, it's, motorsport is massive in the UK, so it would have been a big issue for the industry for sure, and most importantly for the fans, because we wouldn't exist if we didn't have the fans in Formula One. And where are those 120,000-130,000 spectators that normally are at Silverstone going to go? So it's really good news, and I'm so glad that they've been able to sort something out, and it's not just a 1 year deal either, it's for many years, which is great.
While Damon Hill, a former British world champion, was key to securing the deal, he's now president of the British Racing Drivers Club, who owns Silverstone, and he says the negotiations came close to failing.
There was a period last week where I thought it would be entirely within our rights to say no. And we have, as the BRDC, who ultimately own the track and own the business, we have to say yes or no to a level of responsibility. Our first responsibility is to ensuring that the deal is it makes commercial sense and there is protections in place. So unless you get those protections, then you are putting something at risk. So there was some moments of fine balance, I would say.
Former world champion Damon Hill there. Now, the British boxer Amir Khan says an all-English fight against the retired former world champion Ricky Hatton is a possibility. Khan, who's friends with Hatton, defended his WBA light welterweight title with a 76-second stoppage of Dmitry Salito of Ukraine on Saturday.
We had a good chat and everything, and, you know, we just laugh about how much it's exploded, really, you know, how much people want to see the fight. We're still friends, but, you know, if the fight was ever made, it's a fight that you can't say no to, because the fight will generate so much money and it'd be such a big, big fight around the world. It could happen, yeah.
And in tennis, Spain's triumphant Davis Cup winners have been honoured by their country's prime minister in a ceremony at his official residence. José Luis Rodríguez Zapatero praised the players for successfully defending the title after completing a 5-0 victory over the Czech Republic in the final on Sunday. He said the country's overall sporting success has coincided with a period of dominance in tennis, and added that the team set a wonderful example. And before we go, just time to remind you of our top story here on the BBC World Service. In cricket, Australia are chasing 330 to win the second test against West Indies in Adelaide after bowling out the tourists for 317 in their second innings in the opening session of the final day. And a short while ago, the Australians were 52-1 in reply. Well, stay with us if you can for further updates throughout the day. But for now, that's the latest world sports from the BBC.